It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, May 12th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Paonia Board of Trustees has a new member. On Tuesday night, the board unanimously elected Chelsea Bookout to fill a vacancy created by Charles Stewart when he became mayor. Bookout narrowly lost the municipal election last month. Her term expires in April 2018. Additionally, the board also appointed former trustee Ross King as the town treasurer. Paonia officials say the position has been vacant for a number of years. The only animal rescue in the west end of Montrose County says it's in desperate need of volunteers. Tanya Stevens is with Hoof and Paw.
We're having one of our other founders moving away, and another foster home is moving away, and we're shorthanded, so we're needing volunteers of all sorts. We need volunteers for foster home, for cats and dogs.
Stevens says the county and local government doesn't provide animal control services in the area, and Hoof and Paw is the only organization serving Nucla and Naterita.
People would probably go out and shoot their dog or cat or whatever if they couldn't get rid of it, you know, otherwise. And we like to be able to provide a service for them that they can, you know, say, hey, I can't keep my dog or cat anymore, or, you know, of course, the strays or the ones that are lost. You know, we try and provide care for them until they're reunited with their owner.
She says that in addition to foster volunteers, the rescue also needs leashes, collars, food, and monetary support. Last year, Hoof and Paw helped about 150 animals. A Senate bill heading to the governor's desk will put more scrutiny on nonprofits that help the disabled. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Tom Turner is the executive director for Community Options. They're a community center board. There's about 20 of them in the state. Community Options is based out of Montrose and serves six counties on the Western Slope, helping people with developmental disabilities.
Everything from early intervention up through adulthood, and it's a very broad range of people that we provide services for, everywhere from people who live really pretty independently in the community. We may just have staff that check in with them, to other people who are dependent upon us for feeding, bathing, toileting, all of their personal care needs. So it's really a broad range of people that we support.
Community center boards have been around Colorado since the 60s, but were in the spotlight late last year when an audit of a Denver-based community center board raised questions about who was tracking the money. The Denver Post reports that thousands were spent on meetings and parties. Over $1 million was missing. Senate Bill 38, when Governor Hickenlooper signs it into law, will set more standards for transparency and require regular state audits. Turner says that those requirements won't be a big change for them.
The vast majority of what is being required, again, are things that most community center boards have been doing for a long time. It's been unfortunate that because of, some poor business practices on part of one community center board, it in many ways, I think, has clouded the great work that all of us do.
The audit for the Denver board also blamed the city for not looking closely enough at what was happening. Community Options, like most boards in the state, is not supported by the county or cities, but instead almost completely through Medicaid. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Republicans in the Senate have defeated one of the governor's top priorities for the legislative session. The bill would have reclassified a fee worth hundreds of millions of dollars that hospitals pay to free up more money for the state's budget. Hospitals use the money to leverage matching federal dollars to help pay for low-income patients. That money also counts as revenue under the taxpayer's Bill of Rights. Democrats wanted to reclassify the fee so it wouldn't force the state to refund money to voters over the Tabor limit. Republicans who defeated the bill said it would violate the spirit of Tabor because it would lead to unchecked government growth and prevent refunds from going to taxpayers in the next several years. Despite widespread support from Democrats and Republicans, as well as legislative leaders, two separate attempts to move Colorado back to a presidential primary have failed in the final days of the session. As Benta Berkland reports, some lawmakers are still trying to figure out what went wrong.
After less than perfect caucuses in March, with overcrowding and confusion, it looked like the time was right to pass a primary bill. There was momentum, all the key players were on board, including county clerks and the Secretary of State, but even that wasn't enough.
It's a lot of work that went into it. It's frustrating that we couldn't make it happen.
That's Democratic Senate Minority Leader Lucia Guzman of Denver. She was one of the sponsors of a bipartisan bill that cleared the House. It would have added a primary for the presidential contest while keeping the caucus system for everything else.
What happened on March 1st at our caucuses is not all right.
Democratic Senator Matt Jones of Louisville backed the bill.
At my caucus, I know people were disenfranchised. I like caucuses. But we've outgrown them.
But Senate Republicans on the State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee felt it was rushed and defeated the measure. Here's Republican Senator Jerry Sonnenberg of Sterling.
We have time to get this right, to put people together to figure out what this process looks like.
Republican Party Chairman Steve House testified in favor of the bill, which would have automatically sent mail ballots to registered Democrats and Republicans, while others would have had the option of temporarily affiliating with the party. House said the bill would have helped him make the pitch to the National Party for Colorado to replace Nevada as the first Western state in the Republican presidential primary.
It's also the idea that Colorado citizens get more engaged early on, right? They start to look at who the presidential candidates are and how they're going to address their issues or their needs.
Lawmakers also withdrew a separate Republican primary bill. Unlike the House version, it would have prevented unaffiliated voters from participating. Now it will likely be up to voters to decide the issue. Various ballot proposals are being considered for this fall to add a presidential primary in Colorado and open current primaries up to unaffiliated voters. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The outlook for the North American coal sector is negative. That's according to a bleak industry report released last week by the credit ratings agency Moody's. Inside Energy's Lee Patterson has more.
On a recent campaign stop in West Virginia, Donald Trump said he would put coal miners back to work. But Moody's analysts report that the industry has gone through serious long-term structural changes with, quote, little prospect for near-term recovery, unquote. The coal industry is competing against low natural gas prices and struggling with heavy debt loads, weak international demand, and environmental regulations here at home. Three of the four largest producers in the country are in bankruptcy, and year-to-date coal production in the West is down 30% from this time last year. For Inside Energy, I'm Lee Patterson.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Neff.